All right, I will say good morning, good morning. Let us begin. We are continuing in Mirtz Hashem in Nesilas Yesharim in Perek Yod Aleph. Again, I sent out the PDF on the chat as well. So today is Wednesday, the 22nd of Cheshvan, November 16th. The Ramchal is continuing again, speaking about the severity of the prohibition of Ma'achalos Asuros, of consuming non-kosher food. So Ramchal goes on, he says, U'kidei lo di'enu, Shaloha behemos hatmeos or ashkatzim bilvat him tmei. Remember again, the Torah itself says it's not only non-kosher animals or insects which are tamei, which are impure and therefore prohibited for consumption. Elegama trefos shibamina kosher atzmo him bechlal atuma. Interestingly enough, remember again, one of the unique parts of kashros is you could have an animal which is what we'll call species-wise kosher. But remember, again, in order for an animal to be kosher, two things have to happen. It has to be of the right species, and it has to be slaughtered. It requires proper shlita. And even after shlita, there are other processes that need to be done in order to ensure that the animal is fit for consumption. So he goes on, he says, "Elegama trefa shebemina kosher atzmohim b'chlal tumah." So again, you could have a trefa, which is an animal that is of a kosher species, but not prepared in the right way. That's also ultimately, again, a form of tumah. So the Torah itself says to go ahead and distinguish between the tameh and the tar. To go ahead and distinguish between that which is ritually pure and impure. And I will say, on a very basic level, so the Torah is telling me, lahavdil bina tameh bina tar is not just to distinguish that, let's say, you know, a chazer is not kosher and a cow is kosher. It's even more nuanced than that. Even a cow. The cow itself can be kosher species, but if not prepared in the right way, can be unfit for consumption. So why does the Torah say, see, here's the shayla. What do I need that pasuk for? Lahavdil bin hatame ubein hatahar. To distinguish between that which is pure and that which is ritually impure. That can't refer to distinguishing between the donkey and the cow. Why not? Because I will say the lashon of lahavdil, in general, lahavdalah, means making a distinction that's a bit more nuanced. Just like hamavdil bin kodesh l'chol. Sometimes the ability to make a distinction between that which is sanctified and that which is profane, sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. So again, it can't be between the chamer and the para, that's obvious. Rather again, bein temeya l'cha u'bein tahor l'cha. So the Gemara explains it's to distinguish between that which is ritually pure to you, tar to you, and tamei. Meaning what? Bein nishchat rubo shalkana v'nishchat chatzion. V'kama bein rubo l'chatzion v'lo asarat kanoshonim. So both the Gemara explains, and actually we saw this in Chulin. Remember, the halacha is, you have to go ahead and cut, let's say when you shech the cow, you have to cut the kana and the veshat, right? The esophagus and the windpipe. Now the halacha is you don't have to cut the entire simen, but you have to cut the majority of both. And I will say, what's the distinction between the majority of the windpipe and the minority of the windpipe? How much is that? A hair's breadth. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, lahavdil bina tameyu bina tahar. That when it comes to ma'achalos asuros, when it comes to prohibited foodstuffs, sometimes the distinction between that which is permitted and that which is prohibited is in and of itself so nuanced, and that's what makes it so difficult. I will say, how incredible is it? That what's the line? What's the line between tumah and tara? Literally a hair's breadth. You cut a little too little, the animal is a trefa. You cut a little too much, the animal is not a little too much. You cut more, the animal is kosher. So the point that Ramchal is trying to make over here, and I will say, remember again, why are we focusing on kashrus? Ramchal is trying to highlight the list of averos that it is so easy to transgress sometimes without even realizing that we're transgressing. And therefore, the midah of nikios demands a rooting out of negative behavior. So he's hyper-focused over here on the averos that sometimes we transgress, we don't even realize that we transgress. So kashrus is one of those things because the details in kashrus are so immense. And sometimes the line between something being not kosher and kosher is literally a hair's breadth. A hair's breadth. That was, I will point out, this line is a very profound one. And if you're using your sefer, you should underline this. He says, Kama nifla koach ha-mitzvah. You see from here how powerful a mitzvah is. Shechut ha-saira mavdil bein tumah l'tara mamish. Sometimes it's just a hair's breadth that distinguishes between tumah and tara. Again, he's specifically referring over here to the halachos of kashrus. But what an incredibly profound statement and lesson in life in general. It's true. Sometimes tumah's over here and tara's all the way on the other side. And sometimes they're literally right next to each other. Sometimes they're abutting one another. Sometimes they're literally next to one another. And all it takes is chas v'shalom, a wrong move one way or the other. And I find myself on the wrong side of the hair's breadth. It's such an incredibly profound use. So v'hine, mishi yesh lo moch b'kad kando. I just love this statement. So Amchal says, anyone who has a brain in his head, yachshov isuri hamachal kimachalim ha'arsiyim o kimachal shenis aribo ezer dava arsi. It's incredible. A person should look at the halachas of kashrus, or a person should look at a non-kosher item as if what? As if it's a poisonous item. Imagine if you look at tarfos, if you look at non-kosher as poison. What does that mean? Ki hinei lu davar ze ya'ara hayakel adam al asol lechom menu im yishar ba'o eiza beis mechush afilu chashash ketana. Rabbi, imagine for a moment a person sees a food item, and there is a chashash that it has snake venom in it. When a person says, you know what, it looks so good, or I heard that there are some people who eat this. See, you know what, I'll try my luck. The Ramchal says, he says, Vaday shelo yakel. If I know that there's a chashash that something is poisonous, that there's potential for poison in it, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. No matter how hungry I am, no matter how much somebody else eats this, I wouldn't touch it. He says, Vim yakel. Lo ye nechshav el l'shol tegamer. If we're going to both say, if a person were to be megal, right, were to consume such an item, what we say about him, you're a shota, you're a fool, you're an absolute fool. Af if isra ma'achol kvar be'arnu, shu eres mamish lalei v'lenefesh. The Ramchal says, alachas kama v'kama. The laws of kashrus, we're going to both say, essentially kosher or non-kosher items, are effectively like, he says, eres mamish lalei v'lenefesh. So non-kosher food, it's not physical poison, but it's absolute spiritual poison. It poisons the heart and it poisons the soul. Therefore, why would we ever take shortcuts with anything to do with kashrus if I have any common sense about me? So Rabbi says, that concludes the discussion regarding kashrus. Tomorrow, we're about to begin a really fascinating section. So, right, well, so let's go through the list. So far, we've gone through gezel, theft. We've gone through arayos, immorality. We've now gone through kashrus. By the way, by the time we get to the end of this, there's nothing to do but sit and learn. Right, but again, so right, we're going through all of the averis. Now what Ramchal is going to be focusing on are the averis that come up as a result of people. We'll call interpersonal averis. That so often we transgress without even realizing. He says, now we're going to discuss averis that come up as a result of social interactions. Again, I want to point out, Ramchal is not coming to dissuade us from engaging in social interactions. What he's trying to do, remember, what's the whole point of this? The same way that Ramchal, when he was talking about theft, wasn't trying to dissuade us from engaging in business. What he's trying to do is to sensitize us that there are so many prohibitions that we're not even aware of. And the midah of nikius, remember, we will say, what are we aiming for? We always have to keep our eye on the prize over here. What am I aiming for? Right? My goal is to be naki. To be naki means to be clean of any vestige of sin. Well, in order to be cleansed, first I need to know what the problems are. Because so often what ends up happening in life is, I've transgressed, I don't even realize I transgressed, I didn't intentionally do it. I just didn't realize that this is problematic. So Nikius demands that I create an awareness. Once I create an awareness, I can say, oh yeah, you know what? I did that. Not intentionally, I did that. And now I have to figure out ultimately again how to go ahead and uproot it from myself. So he says, now when it comes to the number of the interpersonal, what are the interpersonal challenges? He writes, Kigon, Honas Devarim. So we'll say again, we're going to define each of these things. Honas Devarim means causing people pain through speech. Through speech, saying something hurtful, saying something negative. There's Honas Devarim, Habanas Panim. Embarrassing people, intentionally giving bad advice to someone so that you could go ahead and have an advantage. Rechilos, Shabbos says, so again, Rechilos, we often translate Rechilos as Lashon Hara, but ultimately, again, we're going to go ahead and really define that Rechilos specifically means talking to one person about another. Rechilos, Sina Unikima, hatred, revenge, Shavuos, taking oaths, Devar Shaker, lying, the Chilul Hashem, and ultimately again profaning the name of God. He says, "Kimi Yomer and Kisi Mehem Tarti Mehashem Abam Can Feim Rabbi Medakim Ad Maod Asher Ezar Bam Torach Gadol." And I was going to say, who could say that they're free from all of these sins? Because the appendages and the details are so intense that sometimes we end up transgressing without even realizing that we've done so. So we'll stop over here for today. So again, in our coming shiurim, it's going to be really interesting. We're going to be focused. We're going to go through each of these items one by one. Again, I will say, I want to point out, you know, the beauty of the Ramchal and the beauty of this Sefer, if you notice, is to kind of help us understand where it is that maybe we're messing up and could do better, but not in a way that makes us feel terrible about ourselves. That's powerful mussar, right? Because it's easy to give mussar, right? Some people love to give mussar, right? You can make a person feel miserable about themselves. Generally, when a person feels terrible about themselves, we don't usually do anything. Right? If you make me feel terrible, I'm going to say, okay, after a point, I'll just believe that I'm terrible and stop trying. The beauty of the Ramchal's approach is, if you notice, he's saying, listen, sometimes we do bad stuff we don't even realize. So let's talk about it. Let's understand, all in an effort to improve. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we get into the realm of Adam, Ben Adam L'Chavero, Shkoyach.